Episode 172 of Extra Life Radio is brought to you in part by GoDaddy.com and YouBuyNow.com. Check them out, won't you? Yeah, come on in. Hey, it's Scott Fletcher. How's it going, man?
I'm having a credit card reader installed in my butt crack.
Okay. Okay, that's fine. Okay. So, anyway, what brings you here?
How were the graphics?
Okay, seriously, dude, what are you doing here? I got a lot of stuff going on. I need to get back to work. Is there something I can help you with?
How were the graphics?
All right, this is freaking ridiculous, dude. Out of the house, out of the house, out of the house. Let's go. Ugh, sheesh. With friends like that, who needs enemies, huh? Oh, man, this is freaking bullshit.
How were the graphics?
Shut up. Oh, you gotta be freaking kidding me. Hello, this is Scott.
How were the graphics?
Oh, damn it.
This is Extra Life Radio.
Idiots.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Extra Life Radio. I am Scott Johnson. Welcome back to the show. Today is Thursday, February 21st, 2008. Winter is finally waning a bit here. I am joined
by
B-Man. B-Man.
Hey, what's up?
Are you guys already talking before I'm even introducing you? What are you guys doing?
Aren't we supposed to be muted?
No. Not now. I'm getting right to it. I'm getting right to it, man. Right to it. Well,
normally, you mute us, and I was going to comment to the B-Man that there was somebody in the chat room named Vagina.
Yeah, I know. I've been talking to Vagina all night. He's been pissing me off. I almost banned Vagina.
You know what would be a really cool thing? Just make a chat room just for himself, and it's the Vagina monologue.
Nice. That's a great way to start the show, by the way, with the word vagina seven times. Excellent. Okay, this is who we have with us. We have Obsidian from commissioncomic.com, who is also being held hostage by customs in Colombia while his Hervé Villachez machine is being stranded there, and there's nothing he can do about it. If that doesn't make any sense, figure it out on your own. Welcome back to the show, Obsidian. Hello.
Yeah,
that's you.
Is this my cue?
That's you, to say something.
Fine.
The recently dug Obsidian. You were dug for the first time this last week, which is always
nice.
A bit of a cool thing. How did you manage your digging that you got for that comic?
Are we going to talk about this later, or do you want to talk about it now?
Let's talk about it right after I introduce Brian Dunaway from MissionDeep.com and ComicsCoastToCoast.com, who is sitting right over there. Brian, hello.
Hi. Hi, fellas. I'm doing fine. Let's talk about Obsidian.
Yeah, let's do that. But by the way, there's four or five people who are all poised to email me now saying, was Brian really in the same room with you? That is so cool. Guaranteed. All right. Oh, so yep. Tell us a little about your digging and what did it do to you? This is an interesting topic for anyone out there who is trying to put content on the web. It is either an exciting thing for you or a horrifying thing for you or both. And having been dug half a dozen times myself and having had my site destroyed for 3 days straight one of those times, I can feel the pain. But anyway, tell me how it went for you.
Well, okay, what can I say? Well, first of all, I didn't find out until somebody posted a comment on my site.
Okay.
Saying, hey, congratulations on getting dug. I mean, it's like I was getting married or something. I just read that and I thought, what? Dug?
Yeah. What's that?
So, you know, I never check out Dig.
I dig you too.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I'm very flattered.
Yeah.
But no. So, you know, I did recently add those social bookmarking things to my site. So it was bound to happen eventually.
That's true. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. That's probably how it happened. There's no way to tell for sure.
I mean, it has actually increased my traffic. I mean, not significantly. I mean, it hasn't duplicated it. But, you know, adding those social bookmarks does add a couple thousand visits a day to your site.
Sure.
So, you know, I went. I checked it out. Actually, I was kind of disappointed.
Why is that?
Because the comic strip that got Doug, the what happens at the Mushroom Kingdom brick factory.
Yeah.
I mean, I try to never put out comics that I don't think are good. I mean, don't think that I'm sitting here every night laughing my ass off at each comic that I make. You know. I mean, it's not like I sit here going, "Oh my god, I'm so funny."
Yeah.
But
I'm a freaking riot.
Yeah, man, I'm so funny. You know, I'm not gonna sleep tonight. My stomach hurts.
Yeah.
No, but everybody that makes a comic has favorites and has least favorites.
Yeah.
And of course, there are a lot of webcomic artists that probably put out a lot of stuff that they. But I try to at least, you know, feel okay about what I put out, but. Like I said, I mean, that doesn't mean that you don't have favorites.
Yeah.
And that Mario comic, while I don't think it was bad, it was definitely not one of my favorites. I have a lot of comics that I would have loved to have Doug.
Yeah.
No, but basically to me it's about, you know, the Mario comic to me is not bad, but to me it doesn't really represent what commissioned is.
Yeah, it seems they wouldn't even know that was you in the little worker uniform thing. Like that's your regular character. That was like some old Extra Life comic.
No, it wasn't any of the two characters. But
well, you look like one of them. But the point is that even if you weren't, it was almost like going back into like 2003 Extra Life archives and they pulled one of those out. It's that kind of comic.
It just doesn't really represent what I do. I mean, commissioned comic is not about that. Even I even saw a lot of the discussions, which was the other thing I learned about Dig. Wow.
They're mean.
mean is not the word I would use.
Bastards is the word I'd use.
But I mean, wow, it was. I mean, the discussions that were raised about it. I don't even know how Dig works. I mean, I would look at the comments and somebody would. I mean, it would say like plus 21 digs or minus 8 digs.
Well, the math, like, all like, that. Who knows how that works? But the way it's screwy is that it's a dichotomy. It's like. On the one hand, you're obviously – people really like what you did because you've got Doug 4,000 or something times, which means lots and lots of people liked it. On the other hand, those in the comments are nothing but negative nillies in there who say nothing but bad stuff about everything that they ever post on.
All I assumed was that if it said plus Doug, you know, plus a certain number of digs, I would assume that it meant that the person approved it. And if it said minus some digs, I would assume that the person didn't approve it. I don't even know if that's the way it works, because sometimes I'd see somebody making a negative comment, but it would say plus 21 digs.
Like, well, that's just the comment. That's the comment dig system, right, Brian?
Yeah, that means that that 20 some odd people thought that was a good comment.
Yeah, they're talking about the comment only.
Oh, so it's not about the comic itself. It's about the comment.
The comment, correct. Yeah. The dig, the number you're looking for on the comic is the main dig number, which is like 4,000, whatever. So that means 4,000 unique individual people said, "I like this comic, and therefore I dig it."
Oh, well, that's very heartwarming.
Well, it is. Still, that's the beauty of it.
In the comments, you would see people saying like, "Oh, another comic about video games. Oh, another comic about..." And I'm like, oh, man, you should at least check out this site. I mean, I've done like two comics about video games, two or three at the most, out of 1,040 comics.
Dude, I have a word for those people. I have a word for those people. They're called the poo-nority. They're not even a minority. They're the poo-nority because they're this tiny, tiny, tiny percentage, guys that didn't even dig the article, who are such loudmouths that they have to have themselves heard. And so they're the poo-nority, dude.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I mean, that, you know, I would go like, yeah, but that, I mean, that isn't even what the comic is about. That was done on some Saturday, you know, just random thought. So it was really interesting. I normally handle something around 15 to 20,000 visitors a day, unique visitors. And on that day, I got 130,000.
Yeah. which successfully kind of knocked you out. Although the actual
the
gift,
next day, actually, the weird thing is that it knocked me out the next day.
Yeah, the next day is when you got really hit. Part of that is because somebody had posted a link to your site proper, whereas before that it was going straight to the image alone and no page data.
Yeah, that's
which true. Makes a big difference. So yeah, having been through this, it can get nasty.
But I mean, it was interesting. It was quite a ride, and now everything seems back to normal. You know, visits increased a little bit, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's what you'll get. You get this huge spike from hell, and then you retain some people. And that's okay. That's good, I guess. I mean, I had my last dig that was the biggest dig was I had two comics the same day, one that was over 2 years old and someone just found it, and then one that was pretty recent. And both of those got dug that same day, got in the top two spots on the top digs that day, and my site just fell apart. And I had all this caching stuff loaded. It didn't matter. I mean, the server just couldn't do it.
I'm assuming that if I had other things on my site, it would have been a lot more exciting. Like, for example, if I had Google Ads, I'd be a lot richer right now.
Yeah,
I made my biggest Google Ads take that day. I think I did, I want to say I did about $200 that one day, it went down. And then it didn't matter.
But not having anything of that because, you know, I mean, we've talked about this before. Google banned me.
Google banned you. The customs people hold your freaking Wii. That doesn't sound good, but they hold on to your stuff.
I'm not exactly a lucky person. No. So, no. You know, to me, just increasing visits to my site just is an interesting little thing.
Okay. More interesting than that, however, this is a terrible segue, but I'll make it anyway. All right. So there's an announcement or some talk. I don't know how much of it is. It seems like it's pretty real that they're going to work on a live action version of Akira, the movie, you know, the anime, actually, I really like Akira. I'll be the first to say that movie blew my mind. I thought it was awesome. I still don't exactly know what the hell was going on, but I really liked watching it. Think the first time I saw it was, when would that have been? It was a long time ago. When did it come out? 80s, right? Late 80s, maybe?
It's late 80s. I think it's 88 or 89.
Yeah, I remember seeing it right around end of high school, which would have been around 88, something like that. Anyway, was just blown away by this thing, thought it was awesome. One of the things, and I said this in the comment, 88, okay. One of the things I'd posted in my in the post that I put on the website about this was one of the things that made Akira cool was that it was kind of like a live-action movie. In a way, not really a live action movie, but in a way, it took animation to a stage that nobody'd really seen before. That brought kind of a sense of sort of visceral realism that wasn't there before, and that was a huge step forward. Anyone who thinks a big step forward is to make a live action version of Akira is smoking crack. You know,
hey,
I can see Speed Racer, fine. Did we lose Brian?
We lost Brian.
Damn it, Jill. All right, we're back. We've lost Brian to the wiles of the internet. We have no idea where he went in his stead. Really just stepping in early is Randy. Randy, hi.
Good evening, Scott. I could never possibly fill the massive shoes of Brian Dunaway. I don't even
And he does have try. Huge feet.
Yeah, always seen his
feet. Right. He does.
He just wears big
no,
shoes.
No, I mean, I'm telling you about it. I went, you know, when I was in Atlanta, I actually went to a store to buy shoes with Brian. He has 2 feet. I mean, you could fit like two of mine in there.
Really?
And I'm size 11.
They smell like Doritos too. I've been told, like big Doritos.
And Scott, what size are your feet?
You know what? This is weird. People have always been a little shocked by this, and I think maybe I've just got it in reverse. I'm 6'4". Typically, guys that tall have big feet, or generally, you know, not always, but usually size 11.5, 12s, whatever, maybe bigger. But I'm in a comfortable 10.5. I've never had a very big foot. And this is the odd thing. When I go bowling, I have to, and I'm renting, which I don't like to do normally. But anyway, when I do that, I wear size 9.5s. So I have kind of relatively small feet for my height, but my head is enormous. So no hats fit me. There are no hats that fit me.
Well, that's weird, Scott, because I'm a size 10, 11, which means that I am a whole foot shorter than you, but I have pretty much the same size of feet.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't know what something's up with me.
But I mean, you know what they say about men, you know, the L.
They say the bigger the head, the you know what they say about the big.
No, I'm talking about the feet.
Oh, okay. The more they smell like Doritos. Anyway. All right, so let's move on. No, let's talk about what we were talking about. Holy crap. So the Sakura thing. Yes. Everyone knows my opinion. I think it's a bad idea. I really do. And I don't know if it's been mentioned, but I almost said Leo Laporte. Leonardo DiCaprio in the lead role and as Tetsuo freaking Shia LaBeouf without his chin is being considered for this movie. So
is it real about Shia LaBeouf? Because I didn't see his name.
No,
it's
purely speculation. Yes, purely speculation, and that's it right now. So I'm just. So I would like to know, your take. Obviously, I think this is a bad idea, but who cares what I think? I am by no means an expert on anime or what direction anime to at live action should take. Do you think this is a mistake, or do you feel good about this move?
Well, I would by no means consider myself an expert on anime. I'm more of an anime enthusiast. But I do have several thoughts about the Akira movie. First of all, I think it's very funny that people are giving so many opinions about the Akira movie and its translation and if the, you know, to the American cinema. And if it's going to be faithful. When if you look at the Akira movie and the manga from where it comes, the Akira movie is basically a whole different story. I mean, it's not.
Than the manga is, you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, Akira, the original movie, I mean, Akira from 1988, is incredibly different from the manga. And this is even taking into account that it's made by the creator of the manga. I mean, Katsuhiro Otomo, he actually made the movie based on his own manga, and it's incredibly different. I mean, and I'm talking about characters that are female in the manga, and you don't really know what they are in the movie, but they have, I mean, Randy, did you read the manga? Did you have
yes,
that?
Yes, I have.
To me, it's one of my favorite books. I mean, I'm including even, you know, normal books.
You guys are
it's
nerds.
One of my favorite books of all time, okay. And it is incredibly different from the movie. So let's just take it from there. I mean, if you're talking about that the new movie is not going to be faithful to the old movie, well, the old movie is not faithful to the manga. So
yeah,
let's take it from there.
Well, I'm not. So I mean, is everyone concerned that they're not going to be faithful to it, or are they concerned that this is a bad decision that will tarnish what is otherwise a pretty revolutionary animated film?
Well, look at it this way. Akira, in my opinion, is the ultimate disaster movie. And I'm totally serious here. I mean, look at Armageddon. Look at any of those disaster movies. Any of those. And they do not hold a candle up to Akira. I mean, we're talking about Neo Tokyo being destroyed like 3 or 4 times. We're talking about buildings getting lifted. I mean, they lift buildings from the ground, turn them around, then drop them.
Can you tell me in a brief way, you or Randy, can you tell me why Tetsuo got all fat and disgusting and ruined everything? Can someone explain that?
It's actually very simple. His energy, his power grew to a level that his body could no longer hold it.
Okay.
That's basically... I mean, basically
it's a physical manifestation of his ever-increasing powers.
Okay.
Yeah, his body could no longer hold it.
Okay, so, all right. I still don't understand why his body could no longer hold it and therefore grew to big, giant, pink, freaking nasty size.
Well,
and
it was just getting out of control for him.
All right.
But anyway, I mean, look at it that way. Akira is the ultimate disaster movie.
Okay.
So,
okay.
To me, my biggest fear would be if they have a big enough budget for it. And reading here in the Internet Movie Database, I saw that at one point in the 1990s, Sony contemplated a live-action version of the film but scrapped the idea when the projected budget went north of $30 million.
And this was what year? What year was this?
The 90s.
Oh, that's nothing now.
And it makes sense because, I mean, if we're talking about the movie, if we're talking about a version of the movie, you need a huge budget. And if we're talking about a version of the manga – you need an even bigger budget.
Yeah.
So when my argument is just let it sit where it is. We don't need a live action movie. Randy, you've seen it. You like the manga. You like the original Akira. Is this a mistake?
I think it's a mistake. It's going to take a lot of convincing for me to get all excited about a live action Akira. It's kind of the opposite for me of a live action Transformers, where the original film was awful, and embarrassing.
Yeah.
And what we saw them doing was fixing the entire brand around this live action film. This to me doesn't have to be done, and I wouldn't be surprised if it really does get done. I mean, it wouldn't shock me at all if it fell by the wayside.
Okay, well, let us all pray that it will.
Giving them the benefit of the doubt, I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt because, yes, it is true. Most animes translated into live action have been horrible, but it has been done very well also. I mean, it's not like it's never happened. Just today, somebody mentioned in your comments a movie called, I don't really know how it's pronounced.
Oh, the Japanese one.
Kishir?
Yeah. I saw the trailer for it, and I'd seen it before, and I actually had a question about that. Is that based on a manga as well?
It's based...
or an anime, rather?
I'm not sure if it's based on an anime or a manga, but I mean, I know that's where it comes from.
It certainly looks inspired by that.
Look at Death Note. Death Note is an amazing movie, and it does come from an anime that comes from a manga, and it's amazing. I mean, Death Note is an awesome movie, so it's not like it can't be done. And like I said, I mean, Akira is basically a disaster movie. So if you have money to throw around at it, you could make a pretty decent movie out of it. I mean, I'm not talking about it being comparable to the manga or to the original movie, but on its own, it could be a decent movie.
I don't know. The direction of it, the concern I have about it is this. The movie is iconic. The movie is landmarkish and groundbreaking. And for them to say, well, now let's make a live-action movie of that, seems to do it a disservice. Now, if there was never an animated film before, and they were just saying, hey, let's make this live-action thing with Shia LaBeouf or whoever's going to be in it, and let's base it on this manga that was real popular in Japan, that's one thing, to go right from the source straight to your live-action movie. But when you have something as pivotal and as, I don't know, what's the word? It changes, it was a paradigm shift in feature-length animation for a lot of people. Do you really want to mess with that legacy? I don't know. That's all I'm saying. It's more of a cultural problem.
I would be more willing... Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. After you.
I would be more willing to mess with Otomo's legacy if I was working with Otomo. The guy who's attached to write this thing is maybe great. I really can't judge his ability as a writer because he's some British dude who's done a couple of TV shows. And that right there is where I kind of put it down and say, I'll see you when this thing's in a movie theater and let you know what I think.
Yeah, he wrote You've Got Mail and Hitch, by the way. No, I'm just kidding.
No way. Yeah, no, he didn't.
I'm making that up.
But see, that's where I say, I mean, just give them the benefit of the doubt. Wait at least for a trailer to come
out.
Right. But one thing I don't understand is, why not, or maybe they tried it or anything, but why not get Otomo? Because the guy, I mean, after he started making movies, he decided to not make mangas anymore and just dedicate himself to make movies. And he has given us awesome movies. I mean, Steam Boy is amazing.
Yeah.
Have you seen Steam Boy, Scott?
No, I keep wanting to because you keep recommending it, and I'm dying to see it. I saw parts of it.
Movie.
Yeah.
And, for example, even movies that he has not – I mean, he's not the director or the writer, but he at least supervised it, like Spriggan, are still pretty good.
Well, let me ask you this. Was he the one that – is he the manga creator and the film creator of Akira, same dude?
Yeah.
Well,
he wrote the screenplay. He directed it.
Yeah, but did he do the original manga is my question.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I would agree then. If they can get him involved, that seems like a really smart move. Without him, first of all, why do they have the rights to do this without him? I would like to know.
Well, because I think it says here in the Internet Movie Database who has it. No, it doesn't.
Kishern.
But, somebody has to have the rights to that.
So he sold the rights.
Right, he sold the rights, the bastard.
To Leonardo DiCaprio or somebody.
But I don't know. I mean... I've never been a fan of Leonardo DiCaprio, and don't get me started on Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah,
but
I love him. I know that.
I've never really thought of Leonardo DiCaprio as a particularly bad actor.
No, he's a great actor. I think he's great. Yeah. I have no problem with his acting.
Not bad.
It just feels weird having him in. Just having him connected to this seems weird to me. I need a
he's
faceless.
He's definitely not young enough, though. He's definitely not young enough to be Kaneda or Tetsuo.
Oh, by the way, you know who would make a great Tetsuo? So he'd get all big and pink and explode everywhere. Would be this guy that's on Lost this year. I don't know his name, but he's on Lost this year.
Great!
He was in, you'll know him from X-Men 3. He was the dude with the porcupine face. I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
He would be a great Tetsuo. He's got a kind of this brooding, pissed off look about him. And he's Asian, of course, which helps if they're going for that route. Although if they're hiring Leo, then what's the point? I don't know.
Well, you know, they can hire some little slave to walk behind him and always have his fingers on the side of his eyes so he looks Asian.
Green screen him out. They can have the guy that did Smeagol walking around in a green suit holding his eyes back. That is brilliant. Brilliant.
You know what they could do? They could have Dean Cain in every single role.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, he could be Kaneda, he could be Tetsuo, he could be all of them. And I'm talking about the greatest movie in history.
I actually think Dean Cain would be good on Lost. I'm bringing it full circle here, but I actually think he would be a great actor for a role on Lost.
I think he would be great everywhere. I mean, it's like in the kitchen. No,
we need to establish and solve the Dean Cain paradox, which is Dean Cain is good, so good by definition. Why isn't there more Dean Cain? Why isn't he a part of everything good? I'm just confused.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Well,
either.
It's actually very simple, Randy. Sex is good, right?
Sure.
Hold on, just a moment. Let Randy check.
Let him check if it is.
You use the word good, and I was expecting a much more progressively optimistic word than good.
No, it's strange. The word is strange.
Yeah, but sex, you know, whatever. You know, from good up. Okay. Sex is good.
Yes.
Right?
All right. Okay, yes.
Why aren't you having sex right now?
How do you know I'm not?
Oh, yuck.
Are you?
Gross.
I know Scott isn't because we can.
Right, we can see that Scott isn't.
You know what? All I can do when Randy says things like that, all I can do is picture Will Riker and Troy getting it on. That's all I can picture.
It's just interesting, the different women, you pick the one who looks like my wife.
Oh, that's really? She's brunette.
Oh, right, my wife is a brunette.
Oh,
she's
so is mine.
She's curvy, you know. She's much more like Troy than anybody else on that show.
But you don't make her walk around the house in the freaking camel toe suit thing that they wear on the show.
Oh my gosh, no. Wow, that was so sad. To think that they fixed that for all subsequent episodes, yeah. You know, all subsequent types of Star Trek.
Yeah, they really, really ought to go back to that whole season or sets of seasons and green screen, Photoshop, freaking CGI that out of there. That's what I'm saying.
That's so sad.
It is sad. Poor lady. Anyway.
That should solve your question, Randy. I mean,
right.
Some
Dean
things
is so
are
good.
Great, but yeah, I mean, you need to have it. It's like sex. I mean, you can't have sex 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Because
no. Twice a day is enough, I think.
Yeah, and for those in the chat who...
three, four, maybe six times a day.
For those in the chat... Nice. For those in the chat room who think I'm talking about Daniel Day-Kim, who plays Jin on the show, no. I'm talking about the new guy this season. The I don't know what... Asian descent he is, but one of them. And he's great. I really like him. He's brand new dude, though. Miles, is it? I think his name is Miles, maybe. Oh, yeah, they're all saying Miles. Anyway, so there's that. Let's move on before we take a break. I did have one other thing I wanted to talk about. This is kind of strange and unrelated. I put a poll on the website asking what fictional president people would elect. I failed to put in there what's-her-name from BSG and a couple others, which I failed to put in there. But I'm a little bothered by one of the results. Okay, here's how it all broke down. We had the following choices. Dave Kovic / President Mitchell from the movie Dave, which I have a soft spot for. I like that movie. I got 134 votes. President Josiah Bartlett, Martin Sheen in The West Wing. Got 200 216 votes, 10% of the vote. President who I did not list got 222 votes, roughly 10%.
That was all Zeus, Tiny Lister from Fifth Element, by the way.
Oh, dude, I forgot about that guy. See?
I actually had two presidents that were not on the list, and I would have voted for them.
Really? Who were they?
One is President Chelsea Clinton from the movie, the most awesome movie ever, Future Sport.
Chelsea Clinton?
Yeah.
She was the president?
Yeah.
Why don't... Oh, that's terrible.
At the end of Future Sport... no, actually, it's not at the end, but, you know, in Future Sport... at the end of a game, somebody comes up to you know, the main character and says, "You know, the president is on the phone." And he turns around, Dean Cain. He turns around and he goes, "Tell Chelsea I'll be with her in a minute."
Oh, that's terrible.
That's great.
Who's Boner Lipschitz, by the way? Someone in the chat room mentioned some president in a movie called Boner Lipschitz
from Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, is that what his name? Boner?
Wasn't that Boner's last name?
I don't know. Boner Lipschitz. Anyway, okay. So, what was your other president?
My other president is. Wait a minute. I'm trying to find his full name so I can, you know, give you his full name.
All right.
Basically, President Camacho.
Who is he?
President Camacho. Come on, Randy knows who I'm talking about, right?
Oh, from Idiocracy.
Yeah, from Idiocracy.
Oh, yeah. It just sounded funny coming out of you, though.
Oh, yeah, wait, I remember his name. Dwayne Elizondo Mountain Dew Camacho.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Dwayne Elizondo Mountain Dew Camacho.
Okay, he was he was the wrestler guy, right? Or what, it was like a gladiator dude. Okay, that was awesome.
Man. I have to ask you, by the way, that was Terry Crews. He's a tremendous character actor.
Yeah.
I have to ask you, though, neither one of you actually give a thumbs up to that horrible movie, Idiocracy, right?
I actually liked it.
I love it.
I liked it a lot.
I love it. That movie's awesome.
I did. I thought there were some serious problems with it, but on the whole, I kind of found it entertaining.
I thought that the movie was absolutely plagued with plot holes.
Oh, yeah. They were like pockmarks. They were terrible.
There's just so many things that make that future not plausible, but I love the movie. It's awesome.
I mean, I will admit anything with Dax Shepard in it has this big extra bonus for me.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're all bad movies. Let's Go to Prison is like 9% on Rotten Tomatoes. Employee of the Month was won Razzies last year. But Dax Shepard, he plays a character in Idiocracy called Frito Pendejo.
That's awesome.
How do you beat that?
That's good stuff, dude. There's nothing wrong with it. Well, there's a lot.
I love that.
There's a lot wrong with it, but Kim and I really had a kick with it. We thought it was great.
Yeah, Dwayne Elizondo, Mountain Dew Camacho.
All right, that's President Camacho. President Camacho. Sorry, I'm eating. Someone asked what I'm eating. I'm eating this brownie my wife made. I can't help it.
Him or Chelsea Clinton.
Okay. The other ones I haven't gotten to yet were someone on the list, which we just covered some of. Oh, it was President Tom Beck, who was played by Morgan Freeman in Deep Impact.
One should have voted for him. Anyone who voted for him is just wrong.
I don't know. He was all right.
I don't know. Morgan Freeman has a certain credibility to him.
Yeah, it's
who
a Morgan
Freeman. Who was the president who caused the comet to hit us?
Okay.
That's it. That's all I'm saying.
Oh. Wasn't that Elijah Wood? Oh, no, he wasn't president.
What? He was in that.
What about President Natalie Portman from Mars Attacks? You know, you got to appreciate a president that decides to play the national anthem with mariachis.
I agree. Have you ever heard, Scott, have you ever heard mariachis play the Star-Spangled Banner?
No, but I'm dying to.
Oh, it's awesome.
Well, all you got to do – I mean, have you never seen Mars Attacks?
I've seen – you know what? Mars Attacks is one of those movies. This is what my friend Andrew used to say about – I've got this friend named Andrew Adams. He sells real estate now, and he lives around here. And he and I used to be inseparable. And he used to say – I'd say, dude, you see Simpsons last week? No. The only one I ever see is the one with the three-eyed fish. And we had this long-standing joke where anytime he ever saw a rerun of The Simpsons for all of its 18, 19 years – the only one that seemed to be ever on when he was watching it was the one about the three-eyed fish, which was like from season one or something. Anyway, it's kind of like that. I have seen bits and pieces of Mars Attacks. I don't know how many different times and never the full movie. And I don't know why that is.
At the end of the movie, they needed to play the national anthem, you know, in what's left of the White House. And the only thing they got is a group of mariachis. So they have them play the national anthem. And it's awesome. I mean, it is one of the best versions I have ever heard.
Scott, I'm going to send you a YouTube link to a good one.
Please.
A good national anthem played by mariachis.
I'm all about mariachis.
Me too. I'll enjoy it.
Mariachi bands are awesome. All right, so there's that. It's just that was more of a vote for Morgan Freeman and less about Tom Beck. President David Palmer, Dennis Haysbert on 24. That's a good one. You got 300 votes.
Isn't that guy? I mean, I've never seen 24, but I'm on the deep. Isn't that guy like very corrupt?
No, this guy. No. This he was actually assassinated, but he's cool. David Palmer was cool.
Why would you elect a president that's dead? No, Chelsea Clinton, she's alive.
Well, he's dead now. I mean, in the show, I mean, he was. Yeah, what are you talking about?
Well, he's dead.
He's the guy that does, are you in good hands? That's that guy.
No, that sounds dirty.
All right, so that's him. And then we got, that was a pretty good chunk of the vote, 14%, 300 votes. Then we got President James Marshall, Harrison Ford in Air Force One, 24% or 519 votes. He was leading for quite a while.
I don't know. I mean, I like Harrison Ford, but I wouldn't like a president that looks like he's about to cry all the time. And that is, I mean, you look at Harrison Ford in that movie or in The Fugitive or in any of those movies where basically he's just having a hard time, and he always looks like he's about to cry.
It's a Harrison Ford thing. It started with Witness. It started with Witness, and it never quite let up, if you know what I mean. It never really happened in, like, Star Wars or Indiana Jones that I can think of. There was that part where he smacked Short Round around a little bit, but I don't think
he's on the verge of crying in the One-Armed Man movie, The Fugitive. He's on the verge of crying in Mosquito Coast. You're right. He really does have open tear ducts ready to go.
That's
I mean,
good.
He never does, but he always looks like it. Or that other movie, the one where he has this sort of accident and loses his memory and is basically...
Regarding Henry.
Oh, I like Regarding Henry.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad movie. He just looks like he's about to cry the whole movie.
I don't know what it was. Most people hate that movie. I really liked Regarding Henry.
Oh, it's a fine film.
That's partially why I named my lion or my tiger in WoW, named him Henry. It was based on that movie.
Is that so?
Cyborg Zombie Dog says, screw that movie. I say, screw you, Cyborg Zombie Dog.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's President James Marshall. Now, here's my concern. The last one is one I threw in there as a MacGuffin, all right? This was just a joke. President, the head of Richard M. Nixon, played by Billy West in Futurama, which I love. One of my favorite characters in the show is the head of Richard M. Nixon. Got the most votes, 25% total, 533 votes. Is the problem that I made a poll with a MacGuffin like that in it? Is that the problem?
No.
Or do people really want Richard M. Nixon, whom they were about to impeach, did impeach or attempted to impeach before he resigned for doing terrible things, considered one of our most criminal presidents in the history of the world, want him to be reelected 1,000 years from now and ahead in a bottle?
You did the right thing. You did proper polling. You gave the people who come along and don't know how to pick a right answer something to pick that you can then throw out.
Yeah, I guess.
It's like a real presidential election.
Oh,
we have
I see
all
what you're
these
saying.
Other names that people can go pick because they don't realize how it works.
So I could actually throw out all 533 of those votes, and I would have a truer result, is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, look at it this way. President Chelsea Clinton actually allowed for the fate of the island of Hawaii to be decided by a game of handball.
Oh, good.
Suddenly the head of Richard Nixon doesn't seem that bad.
Did you hear about that dude on MSNBC that got in trouble for saying that Hillary had pimped out her daughter at one of her big things, one of her big whatever?
Do you know how many times we've said we were going to pimp something on a podcast?
Well, I actually think he is being way over. I mean, this is not nobody on earth, not one single person listening to that guy, however many, 10 people that were, but I don't know who watches it, MSNBC anymore, but I guess a lot of people do. But anyway, nobody who heard that went, I believe he is saying that she is prostituting out her body for her mother to get elected. Nobody said that. What everybody knew what he meant was that Hillary was using her to her advantage at these rallies and stuff to gain additional support, especially in her age bracket and her demographic. That is true, what he was saying. That is what Hillary's doing with her daughter.
Yeah, and in today's slang, that is called pimping.
Right, and I don't see why it had to be in a suspension and all these apologies. I'm kind of pissed about it. I think it sucks. I mean, okay, is it the most... What I said was inappropriate, and his big apology thing, I'm like, no, dude, don't freaking walk the line and drink the Kool-Aid. You call her, you can say pimp if you want. Ugh. Anyway, I have opinions.
Okay.
I have opinions.
Are we supposed to take a break or something?
Yeah, let's take a break. As good a time as any, dude. Sheesh, I'm pissed. All right, when we come back, we have a lot more to talk about, including our Oscar picks. Not really our picks, because to be honest with you, I think Oscar season sucks this year. But Randy doesn't think so much. He has some opinions. We'll talk about some of the movies that are up for winning, what ones should be, and some of the stuff that we think you're going to miss out this year. We'll talk about that and a few of your phone calls, actually, right after this. We'll see you in a second. You heard the voice already. Now let's meet the man. You may think I'm an amoral pig, and that's okay. Less of this thing that I want, which is webbed fingers and giant lasers. This doesn't mean the end of the world. It doesn't mean the robots are going to rise up and freaking take us out. I mean, every kind of thing you can think of inside of a major city.
Possible.
That guy has the muscle structure of a hobo.
Oh my gosh, are you serious?
At home, do you like sit really close to TV?
James Bond cast Rez on himself.
Oh, it was tight.
Barry.
Jill, don't be angry.
What?
Each,
All I got was an ack or something at the end.
Well, ack.
Ack. We're back. Oh, I get it. You said you're back.
Yeah, I just
I'm not
you
so stupid. IQ of 147.
You hog the podcast all the time.
I know. Okay, so here we are. Let's do these phone calls first, because we can get those out of the way and then talk the whole Oscar thing.
Scott, look behind you. Watch out.
Uh-oh. Oh, hey, Nick. Thanks, buddy. He came in here. He literally came into the room, put Optimus Prime on the chair behind me so it could stare at the show while I'm doing it.
That's nice.
Thanks, bud. All right, we'll see you. Have fun. All right. He's a funny kid. We got a big Optimus Prime doll we gave him for Christmas. Not doll, excuse me, action figure. Whew. Let that one slip. Okay.
That was close.
Some shows ago mentioned that he thought some states in the United States sounded fatter than others. He mentioned that Montana sounded like a fat or like a stripper.
Minnesota.
I can't remember what it was. I think it was Montana.
Minnesota does sound like but Minnesota sounds like a, I don't know, like a fat artist.
Well, that's because of the name Minnesota Fats, right?
That may be. I don't think he knows who he is, though. They don't play pool in Columbia.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, well, let's listen to this. This is interesting about the whole Montana thing. It's kind of ironic.
Hey, guys, this is Rob. Hey, wanted to call and let you guys know I confirmed something for you. A while back, you were talking of how different states' names sounded different, like some sounded fat. Well, one of you guys mentioned that Montana sounded like a stripper. Well, I'm calling you to tell you that this is true. I was in a strip club last week, and there was a dancer there by the name of Montana. So, yeah, you guys were right.
I'm not so concerned that there was a stripper named Montana. I'm more concerned that we have listeners that frequent strip clubs. I don't know what that means.
I would think you could find any name in a gentleman's club if you went to enough gentlemen's clubs. I mean, they're hard up for names in there, you know?
By the way, I hate the term gentleman's club.
Why? Why?
I think it's crap. Because it's crap. It's supposed to be, it's supposed to like high society up the fact that they're in there watching chicks strip and stuffing money up their butts or whatever you do. I don't even know what you do there.
Well, but you see, that would get us into a whole discussion that I hope we do not have about how, about the profession of, you know, exotic dancing.
I don't care about exotic dancing. I don't care that people go. I just think when they give it names like that, They're trying to fancy up what is basically it's just a strip club. And I'm not saying Randy's doing this. Everybody does this. It's like saying, well, A, I'm going to a coke snorting party, or B, I'm going to a nose intake enhancement gala event. You know what I mean? And not exactly like that, but it's the same idea. And I don't know. I just think it's a bunch of highfalutin talk about something that's just, you know, it's just what it is, what it is.
For myself, I've never liked the phrase strip club, because we have strip malls and strip centers and these sorts of things. And I feel like the word is overused and it ceases to really mean anything.
Yeah.
So I just never like to use the phrase strip club when men's club or whatever, you know, is accessible to me. But I could see that the phrase gentleman's club does give it an air of an echelon that it doesn't belong on.
Yeah. All right. Gentleman's
club. Well, to me, I don't like the name gentleman's club is because I've always related the word gentleman to a certain type of behavior.
You mean, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like a polite sort of, you know, it's like calling McDonald's a fanciful
gourmet.
Feast of gourmet. gourmet steak trimmings.
Fast. It is a rather quickly made gourmet restaurant.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, let's move
on.
Go ahead.
The other day at work, we were having a big team meeting, one of these things where 80 people sit around and someone inspirational talks, and he finished the entire thing with the question, what is the best hamburger in the world?
Yeah.
And he wanted us to come up with answers, you know?
Yeah.
And of course, his whole point was that if you define the best hamburger in the world by the one that sold the most, then that would be the Quarter Pounder or the Big Mac.
Yeah.
And it's just, it was so cliche, you know, ridiculously cliche.
That is cliche. I would say In-N-Out, if you're going to talk about what's the best fast food burger, that's the best burger I ever had. I could eat it now. All right. Can we talk about Knight Rider? This guy wants to. Let's listen to his call.
What's up, Extra Life crew? This is Doug in Ohio. I got done watching Knight Rider last night. And I just want to know what you all thought about it. It pretty much sucked, in my opinion. Val Kilmer was a friggin' joke. The chick that played Sarah had terrible acting. There was two lesbians in the first 15 minutes of it, which is okay, I guess. But in any case, it kind of annoyed me. So just want to know what you all think about it. Later, bye.
Okay. Knight Rider, we were hoping Brian would be here because he watched it specifically for the show. But Randy, I'm hoping you saw the whole thing.
I did see the whole thing.
Okay, good. Hasn't seen it yet. I have seen a chunk of it. I haven't been able to finish it. My initial impression is very mixed. I wouldn't even been able to tell that was Val Kilmer doing the voice if you asked me, if I hadn't known ahead of time. It didn't really bother me that much. But I have my own issues with it. I will save my own judgment until I finished it. I got about halfway through. Randy, you saw the whole thing.
Haven't finished it.
No.
Oh, well, I was just about to complain about something you haven't seen then.
That's okay. Spoil me. I don't care. I'd rather us have it out here because I know a lot of listeners were looking forward to, you know, we've been leading up to this forever, talking about Knight Rider, excited in some cases, not so much in others. Do you think they blew it, or is this, do we have some hope?
I really liked Kit's voice. I'll say that. I would say that's probably the best thing in the show was how familiar the equalization on his voice was. Mm-hmm. And he really understood the pacing necessary to voice Kit. So the guy's a great actor, but everybody else, it's kind of seemed like the cast of Supernatural or the cast of some, you know, some CW show was just handed the reins of this and said, okay, now let's look around our cast of this failed OC spinoff. Now who are we going to make the driver of the car? Okay, who are we going to make the love interest, you know? Mm-hmm. There wasn't anybody who stuck out and made me think, oh, I'll watch the show for that guy, you know?
So you think we just got a lot of really pretty people. By the way, a trend I don't think is all that effective anymore, and maybe it's because I'm out of that 18 to 32-year-old demographic where everybody needs to be hot and young, and I'd rather see just interesting characters played by a variety of people. I think BSG is a good example of them understanding this.
I know.
They have some pretty people, for sure. And then they have some really complex people that aren't so pretty, Chief Terrell being a good example. And then you've got people who are old and sophisticated and really interesting. And that makes for a really full plate of things to eat on that show. I just love that show because of those things. I felt like so far in my halfway seeing of this show that I was getting a WB style, you know, take on this whole Knight Rider thing. And I'm not sure that even, I mean, what is, who's the target here? Because it seems to me that the target isn't necessarily a new audience who's never heard of Knight Rider, because I don't think it holds up in that, holds up for that group. Because I don't think your average 18-year-old's going, oh, sweet, dude, you see that new show they're going to do about a talking car? I mean, I heard there was something like this on before, but this sounds great, a talking car? They're not doing that.
Well, but let's give the let's give that generation credit. If the show's awesome, they're going to watch it.
Well, yeah. Oh, no, no, no. I'm not saying they won't. But I guess what I'm saying is for it to be awesome, I think they're smarter than this. I think they aren't that vapid. They're not just sitting around going, well, I hope everybody's good looking or I'm not watching it. I, you know, what well, I think what they want complex stories and characters too, don't you think?
Yes, they do. But here's my complaint. Just like this is similar to my complaint about the use of time travel at the very first episode of Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Yeah.
The very first episode. Okay, second hour. But very first episode of this new Knight Rider, Kit gets hacked wirelessly. Come on. Already?
That's pretty quick.
Already hacked Kit? The bad guys have already broken past the firewall? Are you kidding me? In the freaking first episode?
Yeah.
What are you going to do now?
Is that the bit you were going to tell me that I haven't seen yet? Must be.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fine.
Oh.
Yeah,
on.
I don't like that either. And I don't like... What?
Spoiler alert!
Oh, spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
Well, it wasn't the climax of the show by any means. So,
all right. Well, I am going to give it a chance. We'll see how things pan out.
Yeah, you know, it does make you kind of think of the Dragon Ball syndrome. Like, okay, you destroyed a freaking planet. Now, what are you going to do?
Yeah,
and you know, kind of makes you wonder what they're leaving for the other episodes. Yeah. Or maybe they're just going to hack him each and every episode.
Maybe it's like a magician's trick where you say, there's nothing up my sleeve now. You're saying, see, we got the hack into Kit thing out of the way. Now what are we going to do, huh?
Yeah.
Huh? See
maybe.
How cool we are?
Maybe, yeah. I'll say this, though. I'm going to mention one more thing about the Terminator deal, the Sarah Chronicle Carticles. I hate saying that full title, by the way.
Yeah.
My biggest complaint is, what happened to the robot chick? Because when the first episode aired, she's pretending to be a normal kid at school so that John Connor can, you know, she can get close to him and protect him. And she's all, hey, how's it going? Great, I've been in the school for whatever. Sweet, I'm on the cheerleading squad. She's talking like a normal person until it's go time and she's got to take bullets and, you know, start running around and stuff. Fine, I got that. Now they move to a new school and suddenly she's a total robot head that sounds like it's an idiot and doesn't have... any of those, she can't fake any of the mannerisms of a high school kid anymore. That is
well, you know, it
big
sounds
continuity
like my
problem.
Computer, you know, because computers, you know, the whole registry, it gets clogged and, you know, you install more programs on it and the computer gets slower. So,
yeah, but they never do
it
that.
Must be like that. I mean, the girl's been through school, her, you know, her CPU is probably all clogged up and she's got a bunch of viruses and the registry is all.
You're
busted up.
You're
so,
assuming
she's probably just behaving like a normal computer.
You're assuming she's running Windows for some reason. I don't know why you're assuming that. But let's even say that that's true. They didn't even bother to give that some exposition and explain a reason why she may have completely changed her character since the first time she was at school. So now everybody thinks she's some kind of zombie robot. Well, yeah, because that's what she's doing instead of what she did before. It's a total continuity glitch. Bugs me.
I agree, and there's a lot of series where someone comes up with a great idea. This is some place we can get a lot of traction. We can write a lot of lines over many episodes with a character acting like this. You say, hey, she didn't act like that in the first episode. Well, sorry, it's already in the can. We can't go back and change it now.
Yeah,
you know,
which is probably what happened here. I don't know. Tighter control of your scripts, people. Come on. Okay, got one more call about Indiana Jones, and then we'll move on to some conversation about this year's Oscars. Here's the Indiana Jones question of the week.
Hey, Extra Life. This is Minsk calling. I wanted to add my 2 cents on the Indiana Jones 4 discussion you guys had, because you guys made some very fine, valid points, but you didn't address what my main problem with the movie, which is Indy is no longer fighting the Nazi horde. And, okay, I understand why they moved the time frame, because There's no way to make Harrison Ford look 20 or 30 years younger anymore. But still, part of the charm is lost when we won't be expecting Indy to race a Panzer tank with a horse or anything. You know, it's a crying shame. That's all for me. To quote Len Peralta on Germans, Ach du lieber Arsch!
Okay, I'm not so concerned about racing a Panzer tank with a horse, but I do have a question about the time frame. Do we even know what the time frame is? Is it the 50s or 60s? What is it?
I think it's the year 3000.
Steampunk future. That would be awesome. But do we know? It's got to be.
It looks like it's following the implied timeline. So let's just say that the first film was, 35? I don't know what the heck it was.
I think it was either early 40s or late 30s.
Okay, let's say 40. We'll go with average of 40. Age the guy 30 years, and it's 1970. How's that?
See, but that's weird. But you know what I'm okay with? I'm okay, and this more directly answers his question. Maybe. This is how I feel about it anyway. To me, this is like a Western. The thing I love about Westerns, it is a time all to itself, and you can do a million stories, a million different kind of characters, and 1,000 different ways of resolving things within that time frame, and have it feel like that's the permanent time frame. A little bit like the Star Wars universe. Yeah, it was 30-some years between, or 20-some years, whatever it was, between Darth Vader and Luke coming around, and then, you know, that whole thing happening. But the universe stayed extensively the same. There weren't any big advances in technology. It's the same place. Everybody's still flying around on speeders. Everybody's shooting blasters, and everybody's fighting with lightsabers. I'm totally fine with that idea.
You can always look at Anakin growing up and Padme just staying the same age, but yeah.
My favorite example is in Star Trek: The Next Generation, when from one season to the next, they jump forward 5 years for no reason, except that they have to do so to explain Worf's son Alexander suddenly being a 6-year-old instead of a babe in arms.
Oh yeah, that's true. I hated that kid. Ugh.
But
I really hated that.
I don't know. I mean, to me, Indiana Jones was never really about fighting Nazis. I mean, he did fight the Nazis, but I always saw it as, you know, he fought them just because they were in the way. I mean, it wasn't about the Nazis.
Yeah, but to me, the Indiana Jones universe is always set in the 30s and 40s. I don't know what they're planning for this movie, but that's where it's set for me. And to me, it's like a permanent parallel universe that stays in that time. And it's just like a Western. Westerns are that way for me. I mean, the truth of the matter is, I was watching Tombstone today, so I've got it on my brain, but I love that movie, and it's just fun and great and all this stuff. And Wyatt Earp went on to live till age 80, died of colon cancer at 80, and it was 1929. The whole world was different in 1929. Heck, he was a decade away, basically, a little bit more from World War II, if you want to look at it that way. And, you know, his time of the old West and lawman this and hanging out in Dodge City that was long gone for him. But in the minds of people, in the minds of me, that place was, he was born in that time and he died in that time. And everything that happened in between was horses and guns and Indians and saloons. And I'm fine with that. So I don't know if this really answers his issue because he's talking more about the whole Nazi thing. But I'm fine with Indiana Jones existing within a universe like that. I don't have a problem with it. I don't care about the age.
Hey, Scott.
Yeah.
Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
That's one of the best lines in the whole thing.
Oh, I love that.
That was with the fat Billy Bob Thornton scene, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm getting tired of all your gas. Jerk that pistol and go to work. I just love that.
Skin that smoke wagon.
See what happens.
Oh, I love it, dude. Tell him hell's coming with me. That's such a great movie. It's just great fun. It is not Unforgiven or even 310 to Yuma or a lot of other Westerns, but it is the popcorn Western if there ever was one. And Val Kilmer's genius in it. And great. Anything.
Did you know he won a bunch of MTV movie awards for that film?
He did. He didn't ever get nominated for an Oscar, however.
Right.
Which is good that we are talking about Oscars. So let's go ahead and transition. Do we even care about Oscars here?
I have a strange way to care about the Oscars for this audience.
Please do, because I think this audience needs a reason to care.
All right. I'm going to name a particular film, and, or you're going to guess the name of the film, It's nominated for 3 Oscars. The 3 Oscars are sound editing, sound mixing, and visual effects.
Okay. Transformers.
Very good.
Okay.
Now, if I had told you a year ago that the Transformers film would get nominated for 3 Oscars, you might have been kind of pragmatic and guessed that it would be Oscars like these.
Yeah.
But you still would have said, hey, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, you still would have been happy to see it get some nominations. I knew that, you know, Michael Bay wouldn't get Best Director or anything, but...
Right, yeah. Know. Yeah, that would be... That would be
some technical awards would be expected.
That would be crazy. But the point is that there are some things to watch in the Oscars Sunday night for the geeks and nerds out there, especially if, like you say, you're a Western nerd. If you're the kind of person who's really into Western films, there's a lot of really serious movies in the running for the various Oscars. But no bona fide nerd films this year at all.
None of them.
Not even close.
Mm-mm. Where's our Return of the King? Where's our
The King? The King himself is nominated for lead actor in Eastern Promises.
Oh yeah.
He's not going to win.
No.
You'll see Viggo Mortensen for the 5 seconds they show him during the nominations, and then you'll see Daniel Day-Lewis on stage getting that one.
Yeah.
Can I say
one quick thing though? And I don't know if you agree with me on this or not, but Lord of the Rings holds up to multiple viewings. It's a great, great series. Blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
I was thrilled to see it come to theaters, and just thrilled that it's on DVD. And it's just one of those things. I'm glad it happened in my lifetime, but. Under the scrutiny of repeat viewings, does anyone else think, and maybe this is just a Peter Jackson problem, but the movies are a lot of just walking around in slow motion with a lot of blue light going, the wind of the thing is blowing on the stuff, and we all are in the carriage of the blah, and it's just a lot of that. Has anyone noticed that but me?
Like, I don't feel that.
It's hard for me to explain. I don't know what it is. It's not even a problem, per se. It doesn't make me not like the movies. I just think it's a lot of sort of ethereal floating around and going, ew, and we've got to take the thing, and oh, Frodo, and blah. I don't know. Maybe it's because I don't remember the books feeling like that. So, anyway.
It's epic. It's supposed to be that way.
I'm okay with that answer. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just not. I just wasn't sure if it was just me noticing that. If it was intentional. Why I didn't notice it so much before? Why am I so sensitive to it now? I don't know.
I don't either. I think it's held up very well in the first 5 years since it's been out. And I mean, I just sat and watched a lot of it last week.
Yeah,
I've for some reason decided to try and put the extended editions on my iPod. I don't recommend that.
Would you recommend that Boromir, the guy that played Boromir, should be in every movie made from here on out?
Because Sean Bean.
John Bean is one of my favorite guys in the world.
Yeah, he's amazing, and he was one of the best things about The Island of all movies.
That's true. Him and that Zimbabwe Gimba Jimbiba or whatever his name is that's in. Gladiator, and he's in lots of stuff.
Amistad,
other things. Okay. Oh, he's in that Black or Blue Diamonds or Monkey Diamond.
Blood Diamond.
And he was great in that. Anyway, sorry, I'm off the track
Scott,
here.
Your question
talking,
seems...
talking about movies, I found a site a couple of days ago called Movie a Minute. And it has a list of ultra-condensed movies. And basically what it has is in text, a very, 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 very condensed. Let me give you an example. Give me a movie.
Do The Matrix.
Okay, Matrix.
You know how to the spell Matrix. That, yeah.
Okay, The Matrix, ultra condensed by David J. Parker. Okay, Ken Reeves says, hey, everybody, look at me. I'm in a movie that doesn't suck. Audience goes, gasp. Ken Reeves goes, yes, it's true. Not only that, despite my total lack of acting ability, I very nearly didn't suck in this movie. Audience faints. The end.
That's stupid.
Yeah, that was horrible.
Actually, you gave me the stupid one. There's
well, I don't
some
know.
Ones. Like, okay. It's a Wonderful
Let me
Life.
Pick one.
A condensed version. It's a Wonderful Life.
All right.
James Stewart says, I'm useless. Henry Travers says, don't say that. The happiness of the entire universe depends on your existence. James Stewart says, hooray. The end.
Okay, that's more like it.
That's all right.
It still seems like if this is user generated, it seems like there's some holes in that plan.
that's true.
Yeah.
I want to try to answer your question.
Sorry.
What's the reason?
Yes, go back.
What's the reason for Scott Johnson, the geek, to watch the Oscars Sunday night?
Yeah, please, please, please.
And I'll give you a few. For one, you seem to like films like No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
And I think you haven't seen it yet.
I haven't, but I love the Coen brothers.
I wish you could put aside a couple of hours and see it before Sunday night, because it's going to win some Oscars, and it's an excellent film. It's not going to be that year where you go, wow, that's the best film of the year by a long way, and the best film would have been the best film of many years. It's not that great. But you're going to see you're going to get to see what's his name, Javier Bardem. He's going to win for best supporting actor, almost a shoe in. Is it Ethan Coen who's the real director?
Yeah.
But Joel and Ethan will end up winning for director, I think. And it's going to be interesting to be rooting for that film for best picture.
Are they nominated jointly together, or is it just the one dude?
They are nominated jointly together. They take credit together, but I always get this wrong, but I think it's Ethan who sits behind the camera in the seat the most, and it's Joel who walks around. So I think Ethan is considered the director.
But the award will be given to them jointly, right? Is that kind of how it works? Will that be a first if they win that?
I don't think so.
I've never heard of that before.
I think director has gone jointly a few times.
Because the Farrelly brothers have never won anything.
I hope not. And the Farrelly brothers are hysterical, but they're just not that great.
Yeah.
Potential dark horse there is a geek favorite, Paul Thomas Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
He's the director of There Will Be Blood. He made Boogie Nights.
Yeah.
There Will Be Blood is a very difficult movie. I'm not saying anybody should go see it. It's long. Daniel Day-Lewis is incredible. It wants to be a lot more powerful than it really is. It works in this sort of business versus religion,
mm-hmm.
Controversy that I don't know. It just didn't give me great feelings. Like some of these other films, but another reason to watch the Oscars, best original screenplay is almost certainly going to first timer Diablo Cody for the movie Juno.
Okay,
she's a former stripper who wrote a book called Candy Girl, A Year in the Life of an Unlikely Stripper.
Yeah,
and I think the Oscars voters will all vote for her just because they want to see her get up and make an acceptance speech.
Well, that's great. Will she do it with a poll there? Will she be working the poll as she takes it when she gets the award?
We can only hope.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Another thing of interest to the geeks is that relatively new animated feature Oscar. They always seem to nominate three animated films.
Yeah.
Two of them, the shoe-in is Ratatouille, but it doesn't have to win. Ratatouille may have some backlash going against it because a lot of the Oscar voters think of themselves as critics,
mm-hmm.
and it was a critical darling based on one soliloquy at the end of the film, whereas Surf's Up was a technically better film. But then there's this third film that no one's ever seen in that category called Persepolis.
Oh, yeah, it's an Iranian deal.
Right, it's about an Iranian girl.
Yeah, it's based on a comic book or a graphic novel.
Right, and you never know
when
the Oscar voters are just going to go, well, Ratatouille and Surf's Up, too commercial. I'll vote for this other one I haven't seen.
Yeah, and I can see that happening. I don't – Surf's Up, no way it wins. Because
you don't think so?
From a technical standpoint, you're right. From a story standpoint, I'd go to Ratatouille. I haven't seen however you say it.
I do think Ratatouille is going to win just based on the production value, but don't count out Surf's Up based on technical merit. That movie is the only animated film of the year that has great technical merit.
No, I agree with that. It's beautiful. It's that movie is amazing technically. The story sucks.
By the way, if you can get the DVD for Surf's Up, watch the extras for an explanation of how they did all the zoom effects. They did some things that are revolutionary.
They motion captured a cameraman to make it so he would film like a documentarian, and they would motion capture that movement, right?
Yeah,
which
exactly.
is totally like it's like putting shoes on first. It's a totally backwards way, and it's brilliant. It's brilliant.
Yeah, it's amazing to think of a cameraman walking around in a 3D.
Yeah.
Animated environment like they were.
Yeah, which is really cool. And I will say this, if they gave awards for acting in an animated film, I would probably give it to Jeff Bridges. I thought he was great. he was basically really the funny. Dude. He was the dude from Big Lebowski. But
to me, this is weird. I didn't even know like people can vote for what movies.
Well, not people. Just the Academy. People in the Academy. Oh, okay. Like you and I can't know.
Yeah. No, exactly. No, because that's what I was understanding, and all of a sudden I was like, "What? Why?"
I wish.
You can work your way into the Academy. It's a very difficult if you're not already, you know, an actor or producer, but it's certainly doable. I know people whose lifelong goal is to get themselves to become a voting member of the Academy.
Yeah.
Of Motion Pictures, Art and Sciences. Some other little things, just, you know, people are going to tune in to see the beginning of the show and kind of tune out after it goes away. That's kind of nice for the
always bore me. Yeah, after
me too.
A while.
Me too.
It's kind of nice for the geeks in the audience because a lot of the more geeky categories come up first, like the sound editing and sound mixing. For example, in the category for, what is it, visual effects, all the geek films, all there. You know, Pirates of the Caribbean, 300, Transformers, Golden Compass. Those are all the nominees for best visual effects.
Yeah.
And also the guys who win that, it's usually a team of geeks who get on stage and they all geek out. It's always fun to see.
I want
to
thank my Dungeon Master from 1978. Way to go, Earl! And they'll be like, woo! Throwing the bones and stuff. It's awesome.
Yeah, the Oscars is the one time you might actually hear a guy on stage in front of the whole world yell, "For the Horde." Okay.
To me, the main problem with the Oscars, and I don't know, I mean, I might sound a bit stupid or shallow here, but to me, the main problem about the Oscars is that it's all a bunch of prizes for a vast majority of movies that I don't give a crap about.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of these movies, they're like, yeah, sure, you know, whatever, cool, you know, I like that one or I like this one. But most of the time, most of the movies – I do not give a crap about it.
Well, that's mainly what Randy's bringing tonight is this idea of, well, all right, within that forest of boring trees, here are the bushes you want to look for as a nerd, as a geek.
That's exactly right. You know, yeah. For example, in the Best Picture category, if you don't like boring, long dramas like No Country for Old Men, There Will Be Blood, Atonement, you have a fairly exciting thriller in Michael Clayton, and then you have a dark comedy, dramedy, in Juno. You know, you have something to kind of root for. Admittedly, you don't have any film like 300 or Grindhouse or whatever, but you know, at least there's usually something there for you to at least watch for, you know.
Grant, you say 300's up for visual effects?
Yes, 300 was nominated for visual effects and
general badassery.
One of the engineering Oscars, so that's not really, that doesn't really count.
Well, the reason I brought that up is obviously I'm going to root for that. What I would really like to not have win, because I was so disappointed. This is a whole other show, but I was so disappointed. I never saw it in the theater because I don't know. I was hesitant after the second one. I did not at all enjoy anything about the third Pirates movie. I'll tell you the one thing I liked was again, what's his name?
Johnny Depp.
The Nye guy, Bill Nye.
Bill Nye.
He was amazing, as usual. Under all that makeup, under all that CGI, he gives a performance in every movie that is so memorable to me. I just absolutely love that guy, and he is the high point of the last two movies. Beyond that, I thought this was really hard to watch, and it felt so long, and I couldn't wait for it to end. I didn't like it.
I completely understand that, man.
Yeah, hated it. Anyway.
By the way, you know, Johnny Depp is one of the nominees. He's nominated for best actor for Sweeney Todd.
Yeah.
And he's probably the second, you know, he's probably the runner up to Daniel Day-Lewis in that category.
And there's some nerdishness there. I mean, people can geek out a little bit about Johnny Depp. I mean, the guy is, you know, he's Edward Scissorhands, for heaven's sakes. He's experimental. He does weird things. And I'm all for that. I like Johnny Depp a lot. I hated that movie, but
Well, to me, it's basically like, remember when The Lord of the Rings was out, the three movies, not The Return of the King, you know, when it basically swept the floor. But like, for example, when the first movie came out and all that, it was a little bit exciting for me because, you know, I was there and The Lord of the Rings didn't win, you know, The Fellowship of the Ring didn't win. And, you know, I was all like, ah, man, you know, I didn't think that the other movie that won instead of it should have won and stuff like that. And it was kind of fun.
Yeah.
But right now, I'm just like, Well, I don't know. Any of those movies can win. I don't care. I don't give a crap. You know, this movie or that movie. I mean, there's good movies. Yeah, I'll admit that. But there's none. There are no movies that I'll go like, oh man, I'll be so disappointed if this movie doesn't win. Yeah. And to me, that's what makes awards exciting. Like, if any awards, what you want is you want to have stuff that people want to win, and you know, and they'll basically be rooting for their movie and disappointed if it doesn't win and excited if it does. But if you don't care about any of the movies, I mean, you might think that they're good. You know, yeah, sure, they're all good movies. But, you know, whatever, any of them can win. You know what? You all win. You all win. We're all winners.
We're all winners here. Absolutely. I mean, my bottom line, we're almost out of time, but my bottom line with this whole Oscar season is I think Randy's right. You're going to have to look for the stuff that interests you. In a you know, it's a bit of a needle in a haystack thing, and if you tune in early, you're going to get some of the cool technical awards out of the way early. If you don't care about the rest, sure, tune out, whatever. But if you're going to go all the way to the end, you know, try to find the stuff that falls within your interest. And unfortunately, this year just wasn't great for you know, films that we like generally as geeks. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in here to like. I love the Coen brothers. I'm really rooting for them. But I don't
got to see that movie. In fact, Obsidian, you should go see No Country for Old Men if you can.
Torrent.
what?
BitTorrent.
Yeah, BitTorrent.
Yeah, you can BitTorrent it. I'm a huge fan to the degree that I'm absolutely going to. I'm sure I'm going to see it. To celebrate not seeing it yet, I did watch Raising Arizona twice in the last month, and I watched Fargo once, and I saw, and I love Fargo. The heck do you mean? The heck do you mean? Oh, now, Mr. Lundegaard, don't you know? I just love that movie. And I love everything they've done. I love Hudsucker Proxy. I love everything. It's just all good. Anyway.
Well, right now I'm watching. I have not been able to watch it. And right now, well, not right now in this instant, but I'm pretty much halfway through The Golden Compass. And
movie or book?
I had not been able to watch it because here in Colombia it came dubbed, and I was not going to watch that in Spanish. I mean, I am not going to watch that movie in Spanish.
Right.
And right. For some strange reason, it took a very long time to be torrented in good quality. It was always an awful, you know, cam in the movie theater quality, and I'm just not going to watch that that way. So I'm halfway through it, but this week I also managed to watch through torrent Jumper.
Oh yeah. Don't talk about that yet. I have to see it.
Have any of you guys seen it yet?
We're seeing it this week.
I have not.
Yeah, I think we're seeing it this weekend. So don't say anything. I don't want to be spoiled. I hear
it's
I hear there's a lot
all
of
all I can say is it's fun.
Is it fun?
It's fun.
All right.
Well, I mean, you can't really lose. I mean, look at the power the guy has. It's it's fun.
Yeah, it does sound like a lot of fun. I expect to enjoy it. I don't think I'll be, you know, this won't be film of the year.
And I've been wanting to watch Cloverfield forever, but I haven't been able to go to a movie theater yet out of lack of, well, whatever. But I finally found a version, you know, a torrent version, and I download it, and it's a cam. You know, it's a cam version from the movie theater, and I'm thinking, okay, wait, the whole movie is made as if it were cam hell. And I'm watching it recorded from a held camera. This isn't gonna work
out. I
mean,
awesome.
This is gonna be like double dizzy.
That's totally awesome. Like, I was gonna tell you guys a funny story before we pull out of here. Speaking of handheld cams and movies, I'm watching. I downloaded the B movie, and I thought, well, I don't want to buy this yet. I want to see if this is good. I'm not that interested in sort of shovelware animation for kids, but my kids like this stuff, so I wanted to check it out. So I downloaded it. I thought it was a full quality one, but the whole time I'm thinking, man, the video on this is terrible. It's just fuzzy and nasty, but the sound was okay. And I was like, all right, I guess I'll watch it. I watched it all the way to the end, and right toward the end, three heads get up and walk out of the screen. And I was like, ah, crap. The whole thing was on Handycam, and I didn't even know it. Anyway,
that's funny.
I wouldn't have watched it, dude. I wouldn't have done it.
Hey, Scott, speaking of the Coen brothers.
Yes.
Last week was my best friend's birthday. He lives 400 miles away from me, so I always have to send him something. I found the Coen brothers gift set on Amazon, I think. And it's five films. And he's not a high-def DVD yet. So, you know, it's just five DVDs for $25.
Yeah.
And it's really good movies. It's
like
Fargo,
Blood Simple,
Miller's Crossing,
Miller's
Barton
Crossing.
Fink, Raising Arizona, and Blood Simple.
All good. All of those are good movies, yep.
Very different, you know, lots of different things going on in those movies.
Yeah.
Send it to him. He calls me to thank me and says, you know what, I've never seen any of those movies.
Oh, they're so
great. How cool is that?
Yeah, it's
that,
a treasure chest, dude.
Yeah.
Especially when they say, boy, you got a penny on your head. All right, on that note, we're going to just round it up. Thanks, folks, for being here. We had a big chat room tonight, and you were all very nice. Even this guy named Vagina. Thanks for being here, all of you. Thanks to Randy. Thanks to O. Thanks to Brian ever so briefly. I don't know what happened to him. He never did show back up on Skype. Hopefully he is okay, or at least his internet is okay. We'll talk to him soon. Big thanks again to our sponsors, both GoDaddy and YouBuyNow.com. Make sure you use those codes for GoDaddy. It helps us, and it helps you save a little bit of money. So that'd be great. Life 1 or Life 2 or Life 3. Don't forget. What else? I guess that's about it. For more, make sure to check us out at MyExtraLife.com. Big thanks to Rob, Sebastian, who gave us a slew of back-ordered mashups this week. Thanks so much for that. And everybody else who contributes, major spoilers. And if I'm forgetting anybody, tell me by email, and I'll make sure to remember you next week. We do have a contest to give away. I wonder if I should just do it now. I'm going to do it right now. Told you guys I'd give you somebody a copy of Half-Life 2, and it also includes Episode 1 for free over Steam, courtesy of Michael Lubriano, a fan of the show, longtime fan and good friend of the show. And I'm going to pull that right now at random. The winner out of 480 entries is someone named Daniel Friesen. Friesen. So, hey, dude, send in your... Is that the right name? Let me make sure I got this right. Okay, I got it wrong. It's Neil Monahan. Neil Monahan is the winner. Don't choose that last one. That last one was something else. Neil Monahan, you're the winner of Gordon Freeman and all that he brings to this world. So for me, for the regulars, and for everyone else, thanks you guys for being here. We'll see you next week for show number 173.
Okay, I'm ready. Let's do it.
Oh, Dookie Hauser was good.
I'm sure that on crack, it would look awesome. He called her a silly person. Okay, that's worth a kick in the nuts.
You know, I'm just trying to keep it real.
If there was a country that you could take a crap on, you'd probably do it on Japan.
But never have I been in a place that was quite so hazardous. Today's Tom Sawyer. Ring, 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 ring. It's not goofy and or any of that stuff.
For all we know, the guy can be a moron.
I don't know if it's the training in the snow, but I really like the one where he fought the Russians.
I think I like boys now.
You throw me the idol, I throw you the whip.
What, Brian? Hardly a day goes by that I don't go bop.
These kids these days.
And you know this girl's going to get spit out the bottom of the porn industry in a matter of years.
How sad is it that you know this?
Bananas are really good when you got the squirties. Donkey Kong, colon. Donkey Kong's colon.
I've lost my keys to the Lotus.
The Korea of the 80s is China now. There's a bunch of women in my house screaming,
these aren't the droids you're looking for. So,
that's right. I just compared Deadwood to Shakespeare.
We called the dog Indiana.
Let's colorize everything. Everything will be better in colors.
Little pieces of wiener. No, 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 no. Just a little chunk. It's really good that way.
There's somebody for anything.
Screw you, Michael.
If you consider mainstream being my mama.
Anybody can take a crack at this. Say a hip, a hop.
The hippity, the hippity, hip hop. You don't stop with the thing and the stuff.
The bang, bang, boogie, say I've jumped up the boogity bee.
It's so catchy.
It's so catchy. I felt like Luke and it was getting dark on Hoth. Just went, opened it wide open. And the chicken tastes like wood. Bad dates. Indy. Snakes. It is now undead.
I really could care less about the name.
Nostalgia is a bitter mistress.
The Cialis is kicking in and I need your wife right now.
Cock
Come on down.
You're the next contestant on this dumbass show.
Bilzarbra Mitzeri Milzetti Kilsan.
Speaking of whom, from commissioncomic.com, the finest Colombian comic you can buy.
Titzami Kitzerens Kilzami, that's my man.
Where someone drove by with a 360-degree camera and you were outside with your butt crack showing while you were planting flowers or something? Would that bother you?
I would be thrilled.
I could really care less.
I'm just going to sunbathe on the roof in the nude.
If you wouldn't mind wearing a sock, if you know what I mean, that'd be great. O loves every freaking movie ever made.
All right. Any movie where Van Damme crawls into a tub of ice is, you know, all right with me.
Roy Scheider.
Take your money. I don't want it. What did I just say?
I'm concerned his agent is a retard.
Weird green fires have been reported all over the city. And
I am Fire Lord Jose.
Because the cat, Indiana. No, wait.
I mean, if Sean Connery shows up at your house and says, hey, Scott, I want to do your wife, it's Sean Connery. You got to give him your wife.
What it was called, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Steam.
That would piss me off.
Well, I'm getting kind of old for this job, and here, LaBeouf, you need to take up the reins and do it for me.
Ah, Shia LaBeouf, you again!
No, 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 no. Bad dates. Indy. Snakes.
What the hell?
Could someone tell me what the rap song is that has the chicken taste like wood in it?
Have you ever went over to a friend's house to eat and the food just ain't no good? I mean, the macaroni soggy.
The peas are mushed and the chicken tastes like wood. So you try to play it off like you think you can by saying that you're full. And then your friend says, mama, he's just being polite. He ain't finishing all that's bull.
Are you tired of candidates that promise change but fail to deliver results? Are you sick of the incompetent administration currently in office? Bush watched the floods from Hurricane Katrina on TV, praying for everything to turn out all right. Do you know who he prays to? That's right, Dean Cain. Dean Cain was Superman. Bush was a Yale graduate alcoholic. Who could save the world by playing the sport of the future? Obama? Clinton? Romney? No. Only Dean Cain. Together with Chuck Norris, they will turn this country around. Vote for Cain Norris administration this election day. Dean Cain is not here, but I'm sure he approves this message. Dean Cain, future president.
What? It's Extra Life Radio. My name is Trent. I'm calling from Texas, as you'll probably be able to guess from, Anyways, I was calling about show 145. I know this is kind of like back in the day, about a year ago. Almost a year ago, I was calling, somebody had mentioned comments about, gun control, and I got a little joke for you. It's kind of stupid, but, guns don't kill people. Husbands that come home early do. And the other thing is, you know, technically if we got rid of all the guns in the U.S., our crime rate would probably rise because all the bad people would have guns and all the good people would be left defenseless. They did that in Australia. They got rid of gun control, and they got rid of the guns, and the crime rate rose 200%. That's my 2 cents.
But you don't make her walk around the house in the freaking camel toe suit thing that they wear on the show.
Oh, my gosh, no. Wow, that was so sad.